is found in our gospel this morning from Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son and named him Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What would Joseph say? What would Joseph say? We don't really get to see the conversations that he did get to have with that heavenly messenger or with Mary. I'm sure he said, "I'm surprised. This is not what I expected." And I think "this is not what I expected" is kind of typical for how God shows up everywhere. And I just want to follow that train of thought today. We make plans in our lives. We have our ideas the way things should be going. We set goals. All the self-help books out there are about goal setting and getting it right, making plans. And nothing wrong with making plans. But I don't know about you, but in my life, almost every time God shows up, it wasn't the way I planned it. And so here we have our lessons this morning. First of all, from Isaiah 7. The Lord is talking to King Ahaz, and God says, "Ask me a sign. I'll give you any sign you want." And Ahaz says, "I don't want a sign." So God says, "Here's your sign." "No, really, I don't need a sign. I don't want a sign." God said, "Here's your sign." You see, it's not what Ahaz wanted or asked for, but it's what God decided and did. And so Isaiah, the prophet, records this to be the sign that was announced to Ahaz. "Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel." It's 1,000 years before Jesus. Emmanuel is named. Think about that. How the people held on to the promises for so long and remembered the words of the prophet, the words of the sign to Ahaz, who didn't want a sign. Okay? Our second reading is from Romans. From the Apostle Paul, who hated Christians. Hated Christians. didn't want anything to do with them, and in fact participated in the martyrdom of at least some. What happens to Paul? Jesus happens to Paul. Blinds him at the side of the road and makes him see, literally see the light. But that was not Paul's idea. Paul had other plans, and Paul thought he was working for God when he was carrying out those other plans. And Jesus said, no, I have other plans for you. But Paul's just a marker on the side of the road. For in our gospel, again, we are reminded of those words given to Ahaz the 1,000 years before, to Joseph. Now, Joseph had plans. We know that. He was planning to marry Mary. I'm sure he had his own career, his own workshop, his own business up and running already. He was going to marry a nice Jewish girl from a good family. And then the angel of the Lord said, she's pregnant. And Joseph said, that wasn't my plan. And in those days, and by God's law, she could have been stoned to death. Because nobody could prove who the father of that child was. And she wasn't married yet. Joseph wasn't going to do that. He wasn't a cruel man. But the law was there. He saved her from death. He had planned to save her from death, but he had no idea what miracles God was working already while he was making his other plans. This was going to be God's child. And the promise that Joseph and Mary and all the Jewish people had waited for 1,000 years was about to come true through Mary and the assistance of Joseph. Emmanuel. They'd waited 1,000 years, and now it was coming true to people who had other plans. I was reading a story the other day about a woman who was going up to Northern California. Her name is Janice Booth. And she was going up to Northern California with one goal in mind, to see tule elk, a protected wildlife species that almost died out in the late 1800s. And she says, the day of the hike, there was so much fog, I couldn't see anything. I pushed on, but the fog just grew thicker and thicker, and soon I couldn't even see the path. And then it started to rain. And I was so disappointed and angry that I'd come all this way for nothing. But as Janice stood there fuming and wet, something sparkling in the haze caught her eye. Dozens of spider webs, sequined with dew. They looked like diamond necklaces that had been thrown all around the trail, she said. It was amazing, mesmerizing, gorgeous. All I had to do was slow down and look. And as she stood admiring them, her mood lightened, and so did the fog. And Janice was startled to find that she was standing right next to a giant elk. I was close enough I could see the dew on his eyelashes. And soon an entire herd materialized out of the fog, only a few feet away. Janice learned a gem of a lesson. I was so focused on the fact that my hike was going to be ruined that I didn't appreciate what was right there in front of me. She says, since that day, I've learned to slow down and pay attention to the small things and small moments, and my life is a lot richer for it. She wanted so badly to see those elk. I don't know how far she had traveled to see those elk. And she got so mad that the rain and the fog were ruining her plans. But once she stopped, she got more than what she wanted. Isn't that true with the Christian walk as well? Sometimes we're striving so hard in one direction, we don't notice that God's coming at us from the side, has other plans for us, has better plans than the plans that we had planned. That's Emmanuel, God with us. Now, certainly, we can't see Jesus the way that Joseph got to. But God is with us nonetheless, all the time. Emmanuel. And we gather here this morning, braving the elements. Some of us might have done it just because we're stubborn. But I think more so we came because when we are in church, we experience God in a different way. We experience Emmanuel through the Word, through the sacraments, through the presence of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we are renewed to go on with our daily ministries. And we are reminded to stay open to the work of the Holy Spirit. And we are fed at the Lord's own table. See, that's one of those other $3 words that theologians toss around, is God incarnate. God made flesh. Incarnate. You've taken Spanish, carne, it's flesh. Chili con carne, chili with meat. God became flesh in Jesus. And Jesus gives himself to us. First on the cross, but every time we gather for worship in the sacrament, in the bread and in the wine, and in the words, for you. So we open our hearts, we open our planners to the Holy Spirit, to the work of God. We join our hearts in praise, prayer, and thanksgiving, entrusting ourselves to God. Emmanuel. Amen.